Good morning. This is C.C. from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada. And when I was in Chicago for, I think it was the end of the August, I gave that beautiful weekend that we had. I shared with everybody about the quiet time that I do every morning. And I gave everybody a little card. And since that time, dear old Patrick M., the good old Irishman, has asked me if I would put it on tape. And at first I thought, well, I wouldn't do it, but Pat insisted, so I'm going to do it so that everybody that was at that deal can... I can share with you every morning if you wish, while you're getting ready for work, while you're driving in your car, whatever it is. And I don't want you to think that I invented this myself. First of all, I took it from the big book, but in 1956, I sponsored a guy by the name of Mac Cheater. Mac left us in 1983 to go to the Great Roundup, but Mac's son had cancer, and I used to stop in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Mac was sales manager of a television station there, and I used to stop and see him, and we'd go sitting out in the park, and Mac always had to say that it's things to say like, we could strive for spiritual perfection. We may never get it, but we should strive for it. And in those days, they used to tell us, well, you know, in the morning we say please, and at night we say thank you. And Max said we should do more than that. And we start talking about what we should do. And those are the things that I'm going to share with you, as I did with the little card that I gave you when I was in Chicago. It also came from the people that I've talked to that were great in my life. Not only Mac, but Chuck Chamberlain, who's also now gone to that Great Roundup, and Wesley Parrish, and Joe the Wino, and Bill Wilson, and our co-founder in Miami. I was privileged to know Bill when I was delegate way back in 57. And Bill, when he was sick, Wesley and I went up to see him in his room, and he asked me never to lose my enthusiasm for Alcoholics Anonymous. And of course, with Joe the Wino, he was sick, and he's from Tyler, Texas, and he was sick at a conference once in Dallas, and he asked me to keep doing what I was doing. And of course, Wesley and I were delegates together, and I used to visit Wesley in the wintertime, and he'd visit me in the summer, and we would talk about the future of Alcoholics Anonymous and what our responsibility was. And of course, Chuck C., you know, who many of you probably read the book A New Pair of Glasses, and many of you have probably heard him on tape or knew him personally. He was one that just told me that, Cease, you got to just keep doing what you're doing. And so a lot of people have talked to me in my life, and of course, there's my sponsor, Elmer, who I see probably twice a week. Elmer's sober 10 days longer than me, and he's been my sponsor all of these years. We probably have the longest sponsorship relationship in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I'm going to share with you what I shared with you in Chicago about the quiet time and what I used from the book. And first of all, we started on page 86, 87, and 88. And it tells us exactly what to do when we get up in the morning. It says, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day before we begin. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be a hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for these presumptions in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and we come to rely upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given wherever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will, and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we've been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see whether religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we're trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in a simple way that we have just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And then on page 63 of the big book is a little prayer that I use every morning. And it's a prayer that has really, really helped me. And I learned it when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. It says we're now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, "God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help with thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always." We thought well before taking the step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. And on page 67 of the big, or 76 of the big book, is the seven-step prayer. 76, page 76. It says, when ready, we say something like this: "My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in thy way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. Amen." We've then completed step 7. And of course, page 83 and 84 are what we are entitled to. And don't jip yourself, because this is what we're really entitled to in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the promises that tells us if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And then on page 132, we've been speaking of you, of serious, sometimes tragic things. We have been dealing with alcohol in its worst aspect. Would we aren't a glum lot. If newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. We try not to indulge in cynicism over the state of the nations. We do not carry the world's troubles on our shoulders. When we see a man sinking into the mire that is alcoholism, we give him first aid and place what we have at his disposal. For his sake, we do not recount and almost relive the horrors of our past. But those of us who have tried to shoulder the entire burden and trouble of others, we find we are soon overcome by them. And I think that this is probably something that is really so important because, let's face it, Alcoholics Anonymous is based on attraction rather than promotion. And if we are a glum lot, we're not going to attract too many people. The next one is on page 164, which is a vision for you. And the last two paragraphs says, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Then it says, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely miss some of us as you trudge the road of happiness, destiny. May God bless and keep you until then. And then on page 449, which is the acceptance part, and I'm only going to read what it says at the beginning of the page acceptance part, but I'm going to ask you to read right through to page 452 because it tells us exactly how the doctor who wrote this was able to have a proper relationship, not only with his good wife, Max, but with all the people around him. And it says, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I find no serenity until I accept the person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as to what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. And of course, at night, when I go to bed and I'm thinking about my day, I say that famous prayer that I was taught by my grandmother, and that prayer is, please, God, treat me tomorrow as I've treated everybody today. Be careful, fellas, when you say that, because, you know, you just might act on it. And every morning I go to my office, I have the daily reflection book in there, and I read the daily reflection for that day. And you can do that, it's simple, but I do that because I like to carry my work and my thoughts into my work. And, of course, we mustn't forget the St. Francis Prayer, page 99 of the 12x12. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, and where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony. And where there is error, I may bring truth. And where there is doubt, I may bring faith. And where there is despair, I may bring hope. And where there are shadows, I may bring light. And where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And fellas, I want to tell you, I know that you gave me a lot of credit for what we did at that retreat in Chicago. But I want to tell you that you said I did so much for you. Well, I want to tell you this old boy from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada, received a whole lot. For I realized that it was a weekend that I will never forget. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. Have a good day. And this is Old Cease saying goodbye and God bless.